This is Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Today on our show, we'll find out what happens when you cross one of Nashville's top female vocalists with a Texas cowboy when we talk with Mike and Doris Merritt. In the second half of our program, we'll be visiting with the voice of Alabama Horse Talk, Becca Salmon. Equestrian Legacy is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Mike and Doris Merritt.
Headed down life's rugged road, stumbling neath a heavy load, I was headed for a fate of ill design. Many folks for me prayed, many pleas for me were made. I should have read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, paid no mind to what it said. Detour, all those bitter things are mine. I should have read that detour sign. When I got stuck in the mud and my hopes fell with a thud, but the blame for being stuck there was all mine. For I'd heard time and again, Christ could lift my soul from sin. I should have read that detour sign. By when hope was gone and I could no more go on, I did to the Lord my life and so resigned. Now to others I say, who must pass along this way, you better read that detour sign.
That's the title song from Mike and Doris Merritt's new CD entitled Detours. And Mike and Doris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gary. It's good to be with you.
We're glad to be here.
Well, good to have you. And, you know, I kind of led that in, your introduction as a question. And what happens when one of Nashville's top female vocalist meets up with an old Texas cowboy? And... We're gonna answer that question through this first half hour of our show today. But Doris, you're just kind of a home girl. You know, we're broadcast out of Nashville, Tennessee, and Nashville is home for you, isn't it?
It is, and I've just been fun, Gary, because we've had so many, our paths probably crossed, and we didn't know it so many times. Because I grew up there in Nashville, I worked at Opryland and sang there my senior year in high school, and then into college for several years, and then got into the music industry. I rode Tennessee Walking Horses. I showed at the celebration, and I know you have a passion for walking horses as well. So it's just, and then I got into the music industry and had the opportunity to do a lot of studio work, and then met up with a producer named Tommy West, and he said he'd like to put a group together. He said that would be easier for the studio work, but it ended up putting Girls Next Door together, and that's how I got started in the industry.
It's kind of interesting. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because we know a lot of the same people. And when we visited the other day, it was just kind of amazing. The folks that I know that performed at Opryland, and that was just a great venue for artists to get started in Nashville, wasn't it?
It was. In fact, you probably heard this. They call it boot camp for entertainers. That's what they used to call Opryland. it was, because, I mean, we would do 5 and 6 shows a day. So you're vocally, you had to be strong, you know, and of course you weren't just a singer out there, you had to dance as well. So it was a pretty demanding type situation. But when you left Opryland, you had broadened your horizons as an entertainer, that's for sure.
So. Well, there are a lot of great artists that came out of Opryland, and it's just that kind of interesting. What a small world that this really is, both in the music business and in the horse business. And you and I know a lot of the same folks that were out at Opryland. We know a lot of the same folks in the horse business here, so it's pretty cool. But
it is.
Yeah, but then you got started with the Girls Next Door and just great success with that group. Several top 10 songs that came out of that. And then you kind of shifted gears a little bit.
We sure did. And that was such a fun time, Gary, of our lives. I really did. It was just one of the, I wouldn't take anything for it, every bit of it. I mean, it was hard, a lot of that traveling. But I'll tell you what was fun, the music that we made, those girls did together. People always kidded us, and we did ourselves. We say that we were a match made in heaven, that God put us together, you know, because there were 4 women that had, I knew one of the girls, but literally through that girl knowing the other girl and that girl knowing the other girl, we all got together, and the first time we sang together, it was perfect. I mean, it really was. It was one of those things that we were. So we thoroughly enjoyed our time together singing. But, you know, we closed that chapter on our lives and moved on to others, and the other girls are doing, every one of them are doing some type of music ministry in their churches, and it's really been neat. They're leading music or in a praise team or something in different churches. But now, and that's what we're doing, I lead the music at a cowboy church in Cecil, Oklahoma, and then we had our ministry as well. We had the new CD that's out. So, but that was such a transition to go from Nashville to Hugo, Oklahoma. But I know that we were brought here for a reason, that is for sure, and it is to do what we're doing, to be involved in the cowboy churches and to be able to do our ministry, Merritt Cowboy Ministries, because our focus is for the people that love the Western culture, and our music hopefully will appeal to those folks, and that's what we enjoy doing. We love being part of that. We still ride our horses. We rope, and, you know, and that's a transition, as you well know, to go from Tennessee walking horses to riding quarter horses and roping, and, you know, all my
pack
has been in one arm, and all those saddles weigh about 60 pounds.
gosh. Well, let's bring this Texas cowboy in. And Mike, tell us a little bit about your background. I think you told me the other day you were from around the San Angelo area.
Well, actually, I'm from Northeast Texas. When I graduated finally from high school, I went out to in the San Angelo area, Big Springs area, worked on a ranch out there for a couple of years, and so then I came back home. But, you know, as just a little old kid, Gary, in a small community where I grew up, there's a lot of cow men, you know, that had a little bunch of cows here and there. And growing up in that rural area, trailers weren't just abundant. So these old cowboys would ride down the old dirt roads, gravel roads, going to check cattle and pen and work cattle. And I can remember just being a little kid, it just mesmerized me. I just fell in love with the cowboys, and I grew up doing day work, basically riding horses, training, using type horses, and in that country, working on ranches, day working, just penning cattle, gathering cattle, working cattle, and then got into rodeo younger years, riding bulls and bareback horses and roping calves, and continued to raise cattle, and just it's just something that's, it gets in your blood. It's a romantic type of occupation that some people don't understand. If you hadn't been out there in the heat and the cold and the wet and the dry, and just out there in God's creation, it's a neat way to live when you can.
Well, it's a different lifestyle. It's really a lifestyle, isn't it?
It is a lifestyle, and it is a culture. I know that word gets mistreated a lot, but you know, the cowboy way of life. It's a different way of life, and it's a great way. If people are just down to earth, great people. You know, when it's out to help each other and pull yourself through things, other folks helping you pull up your bootstraps and going on, and you dodge a lot of the pressures of the world because you're out there. I told Doris this story, and she still can't believe it, but when I first took my first trip I made out to this little ranch in West Texas, it wasn't but 65,000 acres.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know there was that much land in the world. You know,
well,
where I came from. But I went out there, and our bunkhouse was 25 miles into the ranch off of the closest highway. We didn't have running water and electricity. And I was sharing a bunkhouse with a man that had been born on that ranch, and he was 72 years old.
Oh, wow.
And we got up, before daylight and fed horses and ate hot, hot links and greasy eggs and rode horses till dark. And sometimes we would ride 2 to 3 horses apiece a day. And this is going to sound awful, but I was out there 91 days and didn't take a shower or nothing.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, well, obviously that was long time before you met Doris, so that wouldn't have been the case.
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah. I told her when I came home, the sleeves on my insulated long john was about rotted off, and she just can't believe that. But it was like, hey, we was punching cows and sweating and freezing, and you know, when you was through for the day, you was through. Now there wasn't much else you wanted to do except lay down.
I understand. Well, when did you get started in your music?
My mother's side of the family were all just really talented folks, so I played around a little bit with guitars when they would have family reunions and gatherings. And really, I got into music playing, I guess, professionally, as you would. Back in the late 80s, a buddy of mine, well, let me back up. I didn't really know him that much, but at the time, I played around with a bass guitar some, and this guy was needing a bass player one night to fill in while they were looking for a bass player. And about 12, 15 years later, I finally had to back out of that. Played with a good friend of mine, Wade White, out of Texas. And we got to tour around. We all had jobs, you know. We had to work to support our hobby there. But we had some great opportunities. Got to be in the Nashville area 2 years around the fanfare event, and weren't directly involved in it, but we were down there playing music. And so we traveled around Texas, South Texas, West Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma. We even went to Vegas once, and it was a great time. And I had to back out of it, and for some reasons, and I did. And about 8 years later, he called me, and they were starting a cowboy church over there in the Paris, Texas area, and needed a bass player. So I thought, well, I might do that.
All right. Well, listen, we want to talk more about your ministry, but you have a great variety of songs that are on this CD, Detours. And one of the songs from that is one that ties into your background. And so we're going to take a break right now and listen to the cowboy song featuring Mike Merritt on this one. And when we come back, I want to find out how you hooked up with this Nashville cowgirl. So
God is good.
God is good. God is good. But we're going to talk more about that when we come back. And we're talking with Mike Morris Merritt on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Pushing horns weren't easy like the movies said it was. I don't recall dance hall girls, hotel rooms with rugs. We worked hard and tired and nasty and rode our ponies' head too low. All those nights we couldn't sleep, cause it was just too cold, and we sang Strawberry Roan and Little Joe. Like the night we crossed the river and the rain began to fall, the water rising so dang fast we feared it would drown us all. We lost a lot of steers that day and 4 or 5 good mounts, but when all the boys rode into camp, we knew that's what counts. And we sang Yippee-ti-yi-yay and Amazing Grace. Cause a cowboy's got his reasons and a cowboy's got a song. Cowboy's got a way of life and it's almost gone. Riding the straightest line he can between right and wrong. Like the night that broke behind us and took us by surprise, I whistled out the bonner, I seen the terror in his eyes. He rode that horse for all he could, and I knowed he'd done his best. He crossed over to Jordan, riding Gunny to his death. And we sang, bringing in the sheaves and the rugged cross. So if you see a cowboy, he's not ragged by his choice. He never meant to bow them legs and put that gravel in his voice. He's just chasing what he really loves and what's burning in his soul. Wishing to God that he'd been born about 100 years ago, still singing Strawberry Roan and Little Joe. Cause a cowboy's got his reasons and a cowboy's got his song. A cowboy's got a way of life and it's almost gone. Riding the straightest line he can between right and wrong. You know, there's more to being a cowboy than just wearing boots and a hat. It's more about being a part of the things that God has created, like sitting on the back of a good horse, watching the sunrise in the mornings, and seeing a newborn calf getting up for the first time and stretching his legs. Just knowing your family is growing up in the Lord's pasture, just loving and enjoying all the things that he has created for us and what he did for us. I thank you, Lord, for choosing me and letting me live the cowboy life. Cause a cowboy's got his reasons and a cowboy's got a song. A cowboy's got a way of life and it's almost gone. Riding the straightest line he can between right and wrong. Riding the straightest line he can between right and wrong.
That's Mike Merritt, and that's the cowboy song from their CD, Detours. And I'm going to see if we have any kind of a difference here in this story. So, Mike, let's put you on the spot. How did you two meet?
Well, Gary, I told you something about the cowboy churches that I was in Texas. And I came to Hugo with a gospel group that were going to do some music for a startup church in Hugo, and they needed a bass player, so here I was again. and we came over here and did some music, small group of people, and we had a great time. Well, one of the men said that they were needing some music, and we were so blessed over there with, you know, from Texas, where we was at. So I told we'd bring some music, and we did. And about 2 or 3 weeks, Doris was part of that group, but she was out of town at a convention. And so when she came back, we were still helping with music. And then I got involved with Oklahoma starting churches, and they needed music. So Doris and I began to go travel just to do that, to speak and do some music, awareness meetings for church plants. And we did that for a couple of years. I can't really remember, but we became real good friends and shared our stories and just became good friends through this time. And then it began to grow into more of a relationship with us. And the rest of it's just been a ride.
All right, Doris. Here, I want to find out now. Does that story kind of jive? And which one of you knew that you were in love with the other first?
Well, I think Gary, it was that's the way it meant. And we hit the ground running even back then, and that is true. But I think we both were almost fighting it in a way because we had both had been through a lot, you know. And we just really wanted to see what God wanted to do in another relationship. So we were just focusing on what we were doing, on helping those churches get started, and it came together, and we have just been going 90 miles an hour since, and it's been wonderful. It really has. We've gotten to do our music, we've gotten to share our testimonies as far as what our lives have been about and about our culture and what we've been doing, and then of course it opened up the opportunity for us to do our CD, and we never really thought about all these things happening like this, but you know, you just never know what's going to evolve, but it's been wonderful. I wouldn't change a thing. It's just been really neat.
Well, I think it's kind of cool that you guys got to be good friends first, and then. But no, you still didn't tell me which one knew first.
Or it had to be her.
I knew that. I knew that you were in love with me. How about that? I knew that you were in love with me, and I still wasn't sure yet. How's that sound, Gary?
That sounds about right.
I'll say this, Gary. After Doris and I had, you know, we became friends, going down the road, talking about life and the Lord and what we'd been doing. I fell in love with Doris's faith and her spirit first. She really did show me a lot of about faith and courage with what she was going through, and it really did open my eyes to some things and to admire and to love what kind of person she is. You know, and she is that kind of person. So it's, I loved that first. And then I think it kind of came together to, as Doris said, we were fighting it because we were on a journey to reach people that it went through, and it took some detours. We wanted to reach people and tell them, you know what, there is life after disaster. There is God. And we were focused on that. We really were. And I know he had his hand in it so that we didn't get tangled up in other stuff. But,
right.
And we didn't. So I think it was kind of a deal where it was one day, I don't know who went first, but I think it just happened. Kind of like,
right.
Here we are.
Right.
Here we are.
That's safe, isn't it?
Well, but I will say this. Now, I'm looking at the album cover, and she is a lot prettier part of the team, and so I kind of have a feeling that you knew first. Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing. I thought if you can't beat her, join her because she's easier to look at. She can out-sing me. She can out-rope me, out-ride me. That will surely increase my value, surely. Yeah.
Well, probably. I'm sure it did. I mean, it made a difference. It made a difference when I got the CD. I thought, well, you know, at least half of the team is good enough to listen to, so that's good.
Yeah, bless
you,
your heart,
yeah. Well, listen, you know, this is a really, really small world. We've talked about that a little bit, you know, in the first part of the show, about how many people that we know in common. We want to play another cut from the CD, and that's The Kill Pen. And Doris, tell us a little bit about this song. And you did this with Michael Martin Murphy, our good friend.
I did, and that was such a privilege, and we were so blessed that he let us do that song. But we ran into him in Mineola, Texas, at a cowboy church there, and it was really neat because his drummer was one of Girls Next Door's first drummer. I didn't know that until we got there.
Wow.
And I looked, I kept going back, I said, boy, that drummer looks so familiar. Bobby Blazier is his name. So after the concert, we went up and visited with Bobby, and then it was just such a wonderful reunion. Went over and visited with Michael, and at that time we were talking about what we were wanting to do about our CD, and we shared with Michael some of those ideas, and he said, I've got a song. When you get ready to do this, he said, my wife and I wrote a song together, and it needs a woman to sing it. And he said, when you get ready to do that, let me know. So sure enough, a couple of years later, when we decided to get into the studio, Bobby Blazier played on our CD, and we said, Bobby, we need to get a hold of Michael and find out, you know, what we need to do with this. Well, Michael was so gracious. He sent us the song, sent us the, you know, the way he would like for it to have been done and everything. It was so neat how that all worked out. Then he surprised us. He was in Nashville, and he came and spent the afternoon with us in the studio, and it was so neat. And then he sang with me on the CD, and so we were just so excited. And then this past weekend, we were in Bristow, Oklahoma, and we went to see Michael. We always love to see him. He just puts on a wonderful show. And
he
asked me to come and sing Kill Pim with him. And it was just a thrill. It was just, like I said, and just an awesome writer, and his wife, Karen, is so gracious. And just, you know, like I said, they blessed us with that song, and we were just excited to get to do it. And so that's how that all came about.
Well, it's a great song, and I want to mention right now, and, you know, Murph was on the show last week, and we were talking about the American Horsewoman's Challenge that's taking place in Guthrie, Oklahoma, and it starts, I believe, tomorrow and goes through Sunday, and you guys are going to go to the event there at the Lazy E and perform with Murph, aren't you?
Yes. It was so neat. He called us, I think, day before yesterday and said, y'all come up. He said, I would love for you to sing. We need to sing Kill Pen up here. So we said, okay, we'll be there. We're on our way. So our bags are packed and ready to go.
All right.
So,
well,
and we're looking forward to it.
Going to be a great event, and so if folks can show up at the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie, Oklahoma, for this American Horsewoman's Challenge, you'll get to hear Doris with Michael Martin Murphy, and they'll be singing this song, The Kill Pen, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Well, hello there, dear mama. I can see you're mighty scared. I can see you've been raising babies in a pasture somewhere. Took away your baby, left you all alone, and then they stripped you of your pride, brought you here to the kill pen. Now they're bringing you into the auction ring. I can hear them say, how much will you give me for it? Take this one away. It looks like she's got good bloodline. She's been left alone too long. Now she's going to the dogs in the kill pen. Here she's going gone. But I can read between the lines, girl. You and I are just the same. We both afraid of trust. Come to buy your freedom and get you out of this kill pen. You see, you and I were just alike. They tried to take my baby too. Tried to kill my spirit. I was treated just like you. Then they lied to strip me of my pride. tried to shame it to my friends. Then a voice said, come and follow me, I'll get you out of this killing.
Long ago there was an auction, and the auctioneer did say, how much will you give me, boys, to take this one away? And the prisoner had good bloodlines, but for me he was condemned. And he paid the price up on the cross and got me out of this jail pen. Can you read between the lines, friends? You and I are just the same. We're all afraid of trusting. Do not be ashamed. We've all been abandoned, but there's still tenderness within. Won't you come follow the one who'll buy you out of your kill pen? Long ago a child was born to buy you out of your kill pen.
That's The Kill Pen from the CD Detours, and that's Doris and Michael Martin Murphy, and we're talking with Mike and Doris, and great song.
Thank you. Isn't that awesome?
Great. It is a great song.
Great.
Let me ask. It is a great message, and let me ask real quickly, how can folks pick this CD up?
Well, we have a website. It's Merit Cowboy Ministries. You can go there and you can get it through our website. Or we have a Facebook. And I'm not a good Facebook person. Mike is doing better than me. But you can put in Mike and Doris Merit. You can put Merit Cowboy Ministries, and that'll take us to a page. And I think you can message us there if you're interested as well. But either that's a couple of options that you can get to, or, hey, they can call us, you know, 580-317-3729. That's okay. We'll get it to them somehow.
Okay. All right. Now give us the website again.
It's Merit Cowboy Ministries.
All right. .com?
Or you can, yes, .com. Uh-huh. Or you can check out our Facebook as well.
Okay.
Our
all right.
Website, we have that PayPal thing. You can order it right there, and we'll send it to you.
All right. Well, it's a great CD and some great music. I think there's one cut on there that you did with the Girls Next Door, isn't it?
We did. We did our very first single, Gary, called "Love Will Get You Through Times with No Money." That was our very first single, and it went to number 14 on the Billboard charts right out of the box. And that was just awesome, you know, for your first single, first thing out. And another, they played it on both country stations and the Christian stations, which was just, back in the 80s, that was just something they didn't do too often. So that was a neat thing as well. But that was, we said we got the song, the title, or the award for the longest title. Love Will Get You Through Times With No Money better than Money Will Get You Through Times With No Love. But the girls did sing with me.
Well, it's a great song. It's a great song, and, you know, we only have X amount of time on these programs.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to have played many of those. There's another song that really touched me that was on the CD, and I do want to get this in, and then we want to come back and talk just real briefly about what your ministry is about and where people could find you there. But this is one, okay, Doris, that you did called Clinging to a Saving Hand. And it's a beautiful song with a great, great message, and so we're going to listen to that. It's Clinging to a Saving Hand, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Sing me a song of praise and glory. Help this wandering child to understand that when I close my eyes in sleep eternal, I'll be clinging to a saving hand. I want you to sing to me about the Rock of Ages.
Saving Hand from the CD Detours, and we're talking with Mike and Doris Merritt, and another great song from that CD.
That was one that was, you remember Bill Mack, the Bill Mack Show?
I do.
Mack wrote that, and that he closed the show every night with that song. And that was the first song that Mike brought to me to sing. He loved that song, and he brought it to me. So that not only is a great song, it just means a lot to us. So we had to put that on our CD.
Well, it's a great CD, and again, we're going to encourage people to visit their website and pick that out, or visit them on Facebook and contact them that way. But you'll love the CD, and it's called Detours. And so I guess your next appearance will be at Guthrie, Oklahoma, with Michael Martin Murphy at the American Horsewoman's Challenge.
That's right. We're looking forward to that, to get to see Michael again and to get to sing. Anytime we get to do our music, it's just awesome. And we'll come a-riding, as Mike says, anytime you need us. If we're available, and we're close, we'll be there.
Well, that's great. Now, other than this event, is there some place that people can visit you or maybe worship with you?
Yes,
well,
we do have a...
Yeah, Mike, tell me.
We do have a church in Hugo, a Cowboy Crossing Church. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30, and we just have relocated on some new property just east of Hugo, right off of Highway 70. It's a great story right there, Gary. Lord's blessed us with land, a building, an arena, and it's really been an awesome ride. But we do meet, and we're just come as you are. We may be outside. The weather's permitting, we will be outside. And we just have a great family and bring people together to worship the Lord and to hopefully get them hooked up there.
Well, you guys are just a great couple. I've had so much fun talking with you in our pre-show interview and visiting with you today. And I'm going to hold you to it, Doris. When you guys are back in Nashville, give me a shout-out and let's get together and visit, because I'd love to meet you in person.
We will do it. We're planning on it.
Well, you're gonna have a great time this weekend at Guthrie. Tell Murph I said howdy, and I hope you get to meet Templeton Thompson. She'll be performing there. Just a real good friend of ours. And then Tom Beth Alakmi is a good friend, and Craig Cameron. So it's going to be a great weekend up there, and people will be blessed to get to meet you and to hear and share some of your music. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys taking time out of your schedule to come and visit with us today, and look forward to having you back again.
Thank you, Gary. We have just thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, we appreciate what you do, and you're in Oklahoma, look us up.
Well, I'm sure going to do that. I'm sure going to do that. And so we've been talking with Mike and Doris Merritt. Pick up their new CD, Detours. And we're going to close this segment out with I Won't Take Less Than Your Love. When we come back, we'll be talking with the voice of Alabama Horse Talk, Becca Salmon. Mike and Doris, thanks so much.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, talk with you soon.
Right. Okay, thanks, Gary.
How much do I owe you? Said the husband to his wife, for standing here beside me through the hard years of my life. And shall I bring you diamonds? And shall I buy you furs? Just say the word and it is yours. And his wife said, I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the riches of this world can never be enough. No, I won't take less than your love.
How much do I owe you? To the mother said the son. For all that you have taught me in the days when I was young. Shall I bring expensive blankets to cast upon your bed, and a pillow for to rest your weary head? And the mother said, I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the comforts of this world could never be enough. No, I won't take less than your love.
The man to his Lord, for giving me this day and all the days that's gone before. Shall I build a temple? Shall I make a sacrifice? Tell me, Lord, and I'll pay the price. And the Lord said, I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the treasures of this world never mean enough. And I won't take less than your love. No, I won't take less than your love.
Well, we're traveling from Oklahoma, just south of Nashville, Tennessee, down to Alabama. And Becca Salmon, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary, how you doing? Glad to be on the show. I'm so honored you asked me to do it today.
Well, I've been looking forward to talking with you for a little bit. And I know that we probably have some listeners that join you on Alabama Horse Talk. But let's talk a little bit about Horsewoman Becca. And how did you get started into horses? How did that interest come about?
Oh, goodness. Well, I've been riding horses since I was 5 years old. And my parents went out one day, and they were looking for some motorcycles. And they had to go way out in the country to look at them. And when they were out there, they found a farm. And next thing I know, they bought the farm instead of motorcycles. And ever since then, we've been having horses. And, you know, we had a boarding barn out there, about 24-stall boarding barn. And so I grew up around all these people that had horses and were showing, and started with a little pony named Angel, and then went on up from there about 8 years and about 13 different horses.
Oh, wow. Well, tell us about Angel.
Well, Angel was a little paint pony. She was my first horse I ever had, and she was absolutely wonderful. She's her namesake. She actually got her name because I was out in the pasture with her one day, and I accidentally stuck my finger in her eye, and I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Angel," and of course that was her name ever since. But every time we went in the show ring, she would bring me a first place ribbon, and we just won everything that we did, and I learned so much from her. She was my best friend. In fact, one day, I guess my mom wasn't home, but I decided to go inside my house to get a snack at the farm. And I had Angel with me, so Angel just went inside, and we watched TV, and I had my snack, and then I rode her out the back door. She was just a part of my family. She was my best friend.
That's pretty cool. Well, I had my dad always had horses, but he got us a pony named Hotshot, a little Shetland pony, pretty little thing. But I think instead of Angel or Hotshot, we could have called him Devil because he was a little booger. And all of the memories with Hotshot were not necessarily pleasant, but they were sure a learning experience. So, you know, different
definitely
memories.
Yeah.
Different memories with our first ponies.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like ponies. They say they're mean or whatever. But this one actually happened to be a really good pony, and she had a very sweet streak about her. So I was lucky I had that for my first horse.
Well, you were lucky. And I think you told me the other day that you had spent quite a bit of time competing with 4-H and in some AQHA events. And talk to us a little bit about that, your involvement there.
Yeah, when I started riding, 4-H was really big. We had lots of 4-H horse shows around here, and the local extension agent, I guess he was involved with that and in charge of that. And I learned so much through 4-H, and I don't see too many horse shows around here now with 4-H. I know there are some, but not as many as when I was little.
Right.
But then I just went on up in the ranks and did the open shows, and then I did AQHA. That's where I ended up, and I did all the different disciplines. And when I stopped riding at age 13, when my parents sold the farm, I was actually getting into cutting, but I never competed in that. But I did everything from halter to Western pleasure to English to, Western riding, barrel racing. I did it all.
Right,
horsemanship. And at many years, got invited to go up to the Cool Horse Congress, which is starting today, actually. So, lots of good memories with that and just made lots of good friends over the years.
Well, and I think you told me that you competed in a drill team, too, didn't you?
I did. Now, what I was going to say is then my parents had to sell the farm, and so I was out of horses for a good 30 years. And I guess about 6 or 7 years ago, a friend of mine gave me 5 horses. I was in a situation where I could take on horses again, and he gave me about 5 horses and got right back into it. And, of course, they hadn't been touched in about 6 or 7 years, so it was like I had to tame the horses and learn how to ride them again. I had to learn how to be ridden. So there's one particular horse that I got along well with, and his name was Luke, and I decided I wanted to try drill team. And so I joined the horse play drill team here in Alabama, and we practiced, and we did all the different things that we had to do to get ready for training, and we won a lot of things, and we qualified for the Worlds. And it's funny because I didn't have the money to go out to Texas, so I was about the only one on the team that did not go, and they went out there and they won first place.
Oh,
I was so proud of them, but I was like, I cannot believe I didn't go. Yeah. I can say that I qualified for the world.
You qualified for the world. You were part of a drill team that qualified, but I'm sure that was disappointing, but a lot of great experiences since then with horses. Did you have a favorite horse, Becca, maybe one that you have now or sometime in the past? Because, I think all of us that have been in horses for a long time maybe have that one special horse. Did you have one like that?
Yes, definitely. That one was Rusty's Excuse. He was the last horse that I had before my parents sold the farm. And he was quarter horse. And I don't know, we just had a special bond so that we did really well when we were competing and riding, and it was like we were one movement. There was no break between horse and rider. We were just one unit riding together, and I have not had that again. That's the only horse that I've had that with, and I've had lots of them. So, I think it does take a very special bond between a person and horse to get that, but he was the one, and I actually looked for him for years after, you know, we had to sell him, and I never found him again. But I think of him to this day, and sometimes I still dream about riding him.
Oh, wow. 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 Well, I think we all have had some horse that's been special in our life. And, you know, if we're lucky, we have more than one. And I bet you find that one. I bet you'll come upon that second one.
Yeah, I hope I do. I've actually got a prospect right now. Her name is Sugar, and she's a really well-trained horse. But I'm just getting to know her, so I'll let you know in the future.
All right. Now, do you do a lot of riding now? I know you stay real busy, and we're going to talk about Alabama Horse Talk in just a little bit. But do you get to do a lot of riding now, and are you involved in any kind of competitions?
No competitions right now. The most riding that I get to do is usually in my backyard, in the pasture, and the bridle pass that we have around our neighborhood. Occasionally I'll get to go on a trail ride, but I am awfully busy these days, and it's difficult to get out anymore, which I regret. But, you know, I do get to go out every day because my horses are in my backyard and spend time with them. So I'm appreciative of that. But, yeah,
well,
I wish I could ride more.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, you know, there's a lot of great trail riding around Alabama and up into Tennessee. So, great opportunity to do that. And I think you told me that, now you've got a couple of children, and do they do any riding with you?
Some. My daughter likes to ride, but my son does not. So, they're kind of split there.
Well,
my husband will ride with me occasionally.
Well, and you told me he was a pretty good ground man, too.
Yeah, he says he just works here.
Well, we all need a good ground person or two, and not always do our children follow our paths with horses, but sometimes that comes later in life, too. You know, there are a lot of folks that wait until they're into their 40s before they really decide that that's what they want to do, and they become passionate about that, so... But Well, we want to take a quick break, and I was thinking about you this morning. There's a song called Cowboy Up that Joni Harms has done. It's a great song, and we're talking with Becca Salmon, the voice of Alabama Horse Talk, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
He was the new kid on the circus. Gold buckles in his eyes, but the horse he drew was plenty rank, and much to his surprise, he did a double backflip, landed on his head. This old cowboy limped out in the ring, leaned over him and said, "You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle. But her mama said she married the guy who used to call his friend. And before the first tear could fall, these words came back again. You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle. Cowboy up. It's
warms Cowboy up, and Becca, my feet just start tapping every time I listen to that song. So I don't know if it affected you that way or not. Yeah.
I was in my chair.
All right. Well, you've been involved in the horse industry in several different ways over the past several years, and talk to us a little bit about some of that background and experience.
Okay. Well, I guess about 4 years ago, I was working in the equine industry at the Alabama Horse Council, and they had some circumstances change and some things that caused them to go in a different direction. So we ended up parting ways. So that door was closed, but I learned an awful lot from them, and I really appreciate everything that they taught me. But God had another plan for me, and he opened a window to Alabama Horse Talk. And I have to thank them that we parted ways, because now I have my own business, and I'm really having a great time. It's just the joy of my life every day doing what I love. The parent company of Alabama Horse Talk is called the Girls of Alabama, and we are a new media marketing company that helps small businesses to grow, helps events to grow, event marketing and things like that. You know, we do websites and social media, newsletters. We might, start up a Facebook page for someone and help them management, just different things like that in the new media online world. But an offshoot of that company is Alabama Horse Talk and Alabama Horse Talk Radio. And I don't know if I'm talking too much and you want to ask me questions. If I am, you just cut in.
you're a great guest. But, you just keep talking.
Okay. But Alabama Horse Talk is made up of really four components right now. We have the Alabama Horse Talk blog, where I write 5 days a week about equine personalities, businesses, and events, and what's happening with horses in Alabama. I'll also put, event flyers out on that, or a breaking news, or anything about the horse world that comes up. Then, of course, I have the radio show, which comes on every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Central here in Alabama. And it's also available on archive, 24/7
right.
on Blog Talk Radio, so people can listen anytime they want to. And that's really handy for horse people, because not a lot of them are listening to the radio at 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning. But
right.
When they come home after 8 p.m., they might turn on the show. So I like that archive feature. The third major portion is the Alabama Horse Talk Directory, where we list all the information on equine resources that we can find. And I've got a list of about 2,500 resources that I still have to put onto the directory. And that's an ongoing project. And it will never end, by the way, because people are always coming and going with their businesses and their events. So that's an ongoing project. And then finally, I have the calendar. It's a regional all-discipline equine event calendar. And it started off mainly as Alabama events. But as the reputation of Alabama Horse Talk grew, it has been where people have sent me events from all over the Southeast. And people really like that, because they say it's the most comprehensive calendar that they've seen for the equine industry here in Alabama. So that's the four main components of it.
And
that's kind of what I do in a nutshell.
Well, and, you're busy with that, and you're a mom at the same time, so you've got a pretty full plate with all that you do. And we want people to be able to find you, and so you have a great Facebook page, Alabama Horse Talk, and what is your website?
It is alabamahorsetalk.com.
All right, so that's easy to remember, alabamahorsetalk.com, and a lot of great information there on the website. And do you connect the blog from the website as well?
Yes, if you type in alabamahorsetalk.com, you will go directly to the blog. That's the home page, which that will be changing actually in the future. But right now, that's where you go. And you'll see, six different blog posts show up, and you just click one you want to go to, or just scan through all of them. I've got hundreds on there now.
Okay.
But if you want to go to the directory, you'd go to alabamahorsetalk.com/DIR for directory.
Okay. All right. So just a lot of great information. You have become a tremendous resource for folks in Alabama to be able to communicate, to keep people up to date on what's going on in your state. And then you have some interesting guests on your show as well. And we'll just remind folks that comes on Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock Central. And you can link to the show from your website and also from your Facebook page, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, you can find us everywhere. I try to put out as much as I can on Twitter and Google Plus and Facebook and the website. I do have a Pinterest page as well, but I'm working on that, so maybe you shouldn't go look at that yet.
Well, let me ask you a question. What's the most rewarding part of Alabama Horse Talk to you?
I guess getting to know all the people in the horse world here. When I first started, it's kind of funny. I would put things out on Facebook or the blog, and I'd ask for responses, you know, give a question and wait for a response, and nobody would say anything to me. And
right.
I'm thinking, what's going on here? Why is no one talking? But I think what it is people here just really have to get used to you, get to know you before they can trust you enough to talk to you. So now I have everybody talking to me. It's great. And I really like to know all the different people from all the different disciplines. And I have become, a one-stop shop or a resource for people. When they're looking for answers, they go to me. I'm like the go-to person here in Alabama. And if I can't find the answer, if I don't know the answer, I'll go find it. And they know that I'll do something about it, so they contact me, which is a good thing. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, well, it is. Now, have you had any particular experience? How long has Alabama Horse Talk been in existence?
It's in its third year now, and the radio show is in its second year. So,
okay.
Not that long. We're still growing.
You're right.
We're growing as we speak.
All right. Any particular experience that has kind of stuck with you over these past 3 years? People that you've met or some event you've attended? Anything that was particularly impactful to you?
Yeah, well, there's some stories I can't say. Those are fun ones. No, but what has been really impactful, I guess, is that I've gotten to meet so many people outside the Alabama equine industry as well. People like Pat Pirelli, Templeton Thompson, Marianne Kennedy, Tom Say. The list just goes on and on and on of the people that I've gotten to talk to and interview. And it's just really exciting. A little old girl from Chelsea, Alabama, who works from her home can get to do that sort of thing. And that's one of the great things about technology. You can do things like that.
Well, it really is cool. And I listen to Alabama Horse Talk, and always fun to listen to you and your guest. And I'll have to check out a little more closely the things that are going on in Alabama, because that's not too far away from Nashville, Tennessee.
That's right. That's right. I think we should get together and do a dual show in the same room.
Well, we'll have to do that sometime. That would be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Well, I have really looked forward to visiting with you. And, you know, a lot of times people don't know as much about the host of the show as they do the guest. And so it's kind of fun to get to know Becca just a little bit. And Angel really had an impact on you all those years ago, didn't she?
She really did. Yeah, I've got more stories about her. she's great.
Oh, gosh. Well, we'll have to have you come back and visit with us again and talk a little bit more about Angel and what's going on with Alabama Horse Talk. And we look forward to staying in touch with you, Becca, and appreciate you taking time this morning to join us on the show.
Well, thank you so much, Gary. If you don't mind, I want to mention one more thing before I go.
Go right ahead.
Right now we're gathering. Yeah, we're gathering information for trail riding facilities in Alabama for our trail guide. And we'll be putting together the trail guide soon, and then the Alabama Equine Resource Guide in the near future. So anybody that's got great horse camping and trails in Alabama, they need to contact me and get me their information. That's all I want to say.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing that. A busy, busy lady. She's got a lot of hats that she wears, and so kudos to you for that, and thanks for bringing us all this good information from Alabama Horse Talk. Becca, let's have you back again. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. All right. I've had a fun time with our guests today. It was a lot of fun to talk with Mike and Doris Merritt. Enjoy their great music. Again, be sure and pick up their CD. It's a great one. It's called Detours. You can visit their website or visit them on Facebook as well. And great to talk with Becca Salmon. So just a super young lady down in Alabama. Got some great things that are happening with Equestrian Legacy Radio. We have our Legacy Club. It is a membership that is free for our listeners and our friends, and you get great discounts from our Legacy Club sponsors. We also offer a monthly drawing for great prizes from our Legacy Club sponsors, and we have a year-end drawing for a terrific, revolutionary two-horse watering system. It's portable, goes right into your trailer and travel with that, and that's provided by Hydra Horse. You can visit them at HydraHorse.com. We're also excited to announce that beginning October the 12th, Belinda Gale joins our family. Belinda is a seven-time Female Entertainer of the Year with the Western Music Association. And this year she has five nominations, Entertainer of the Year, Female Vocalist of the Year, Album of the Year, and I think two songs for Song of the Year. So Belinda will be joining us beginning October the 12th. Every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. It's going to be a great show with inspirational music, great guests, and they'll be sharing their stories and their thoughts with us, and that's beginning October the 12th, Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Tuesday, our Saddle Up America program will be featuring Jim McGarvey, who's the chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America. And we'll also be talking about some great trail rides that are coming up. Saddle Up America is geared to the trail riders, so be sure and join us at noon Central Standard Time every Tuesday for Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And we appreciate you listening today. This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, and we come to you every Thursday at noon Central Time. So we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.